Invite you to take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We're continuing on here in Acts, and we're going to be bringing it in for a landing here. This is the last chapter. We're not going to make it through the whole chapter, though, so we'll still have some more times in Acts, but this is the last chapter. And last week we left the Apostle Paul shipwrecked. He was on board this ship during this very severe storm, typhoon-type storm, and they were at the point where they had to give up the ship. They had spotted a bay, and they decided to steer as much as they could into that bay, and they got to a point where they were, it seems, on a sandbar. Front of the ship was stuck in that sandbar. The waves were beating against the stern of the ship, and we left them every man for himself. Those that could swim got out and started swimming. Those who couldn't swim, they were on boards and pieces of the ship. And we pick it up here in chapter 28, with what happened after that. Look at chapter 28 and verse 1. When they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. So we see what happened. They made it safely to this island, which is called Melita, or Malta is another spelling of it. And the verse 1 says they were escaped. The idea is that they were saved through. It's the idea of bringing safely through a danger. And that's what God had done for this crew. Because of the Apostle Paul, God kept his promise of protection to Paul. Remember that angel had come to Paul on that ship and had assured him that he'd be safe. And there were other assurances of protection as well. But God kept that promise, and they were led to this little island, shipwrecked on an island of Melita. This island of Melita is a small island. It's 18 miles long, 8 miles wide. This was an island, we understand, it was named by the Phoenicians, and the meaning of the name is a place of refuge. And that's what it came to be here for the Apostle Paul and these 276 people aboard that ship. What we see here, the time that Paul spent on this island, it really proved to be a time of blessing for the Apostle Paul, for all those that were on board the ship, but especially for Paul. It seems that God here on this island is refreshing Paul. He's encouraging him in various ways, blessing him, perhaps at a time when he needed it the most. And so as we consider these verses, we see the blessing of God in several ways on this island. And in verses 1 and 2, we see the blessing that comes from the kindness of people. Blessing that comes from the kindness of people. Verse 2 says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." see that these islanders were kind to Paul and the other passengers, even though they were strangers to one another. The Bible says these were a barbarous people. And the idea of this word means that that they didn't share the same language. The barbarian, this term in the scripture and the Greek language, it doesn't necessarily mean these were kind of cavemen walking around. You know, there's visitors on our island. You know, that's not quite the idea. They were civilized people, just that they didn't share the language. And this word barbarian is just a word that refers to foreign people. And, they don't speak the same language, and they were called barbarians in that way. But they were kind, even though they were strangers to one another. Notice how they expressed their kindness here. They expressed it by meeting immediate needs. Showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. The word kindness here is an interesting word. In the original, it is the word philanthropia. And it comes from two words. One is the word for love, philos, and the word for man, anthropos, philanthropia. It's a word that means love of man. Human friendship, benevolence, kindness. It's a word that we even see used of God, the philanthropy of God in Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. When we think of philanthropy, we're thinking of rich guys giving money to worthy causes. But this was a different kind of philanthropy. This was a hospitality, so to speak, a general love of man and kindness to people that even they didn't know. It involved a warm fire so people could dry their clothes. Why were their clothes wet? They were swimming in their clothes, remember? They had just gotten to shore, they had to jump in and swim for their lives. And they all survived that. And think about how much philanthropy and hospitality there would needed to be there. 276 passengers. That's a lot of philanthropy. These islanders are showing that to people. You know, God may allow total strangers to show kindness to us sometimes. Maybe you can think of times when God brought along a total stranger along your path. Over Christmas, we broke down there in Cleveland, and there were several people in Cleveland that came by and just offered to help us, kind of made me think better of Cleveland. There were three or four people, actually, that stopped and offered to do different things for us. Sometimes the unsaved world can even be surprising in their kindness, and you see that here. Sometimes you see that even a greater way than Christians. They put Christians to shame sometimes. And I think that's kind of what was going on here. But the other side of that is God may use us to show kindness to total strangers. You may come across somebody that needs your help, somebody in distress, or probably not a shipwrecked stranger, but maybe a car wrecked stranger, or somebody else who's in some other kind of trouble. Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And, the Bible encourages us to be kind to people and to do what we can when we can. And here's an example of that in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But God was working through these people, and God was blessing Paul through the kindness of these islanders here. And then we see another blessing that happens to Paul, verses 3 through 6. We have the protection of God over the Apostle Paul. Verse 3, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. The protection of God upon the Apostle Paul. God offered his protection at a time when Paul was seeking to help others. You know, here was the Apostle Paul. He was not content just to sort of stand by and let other people get wood for this fire. No, he's going around. He's trying to get wood to keep this fire going. And he's serving in that way. You know, he's not just sitting there on the seashore saying, you know, there, go do this. He's actually getting involved, helping out, serving. And it's in the midst of that that God protects him. God protects him from a lethal danger. Paul is gathering this wood and, you know, the throws the wood on the fire, and sure enough, there's this serpent that pops out, feels the heat of that fire, and latches on to the Apostle Paul and bites him. He's got that serpent right there on him, and we're told that Paul just shakes that thing off into the fire. So anybody had that happen before? Maybe on your leg or anything? Just shake it off? Well, that's what you do if it ever does happen. Just shake that thing off and hope for the best. But, you know, God was protecting him as well. The islanders here, notice their reaction. They expect Paul to swell up and die. You know, we're not told what kind of serpent this was, but it's obvious that they knew what it was. And they had probably seen people had the same thing happen. They're expecting, oh no, this is the end of this guy. And you notice that the Apostle Paul wasn't seeking to demonstrate the power of his faith by picking up this serpent, was he? You know, there's those today in various parts of the country where actually are going out and handling these snakes to show how much they believe God. And that's not what Paul was doing. This was an accident. You know, he was picking up wood and he didn't even see this snake, and it came out and got him. Matthew Henry makes an interesting point here. He says, see how many perils human life is exposed to and what danger we are in from the inferior creatures, which have many of them become enemies to men since men became rebels to God. You know, there's just a lot of danger that we face in life. And we may face some of those at the times when we're just trying to do the right thing and we're just trying to help, and yet, bam, there's a serpent. He goes on and says, what a mercy it is that we are preserved from them as we are. We often meet with that which is mischievous where we expect that which is beneficial. And many come by hurt when they are honestly employed and in the way of their duty. I trust that doesn't happen to you this week, but, you know, there's that very real possibility that God might allow it to happen. Maybe not a snake bite, but there's always the twisting the ankle, the breaking of a leg, or there's some peril that we face here in this life. You know, it's a dangerous world. It really is, and it's everywhere. But God protected him from this lethal danger. Notice the islanders' reaction here. They say, verse 4, it says, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered him, has suffered not to live. The islanders here are making some assumptions here about Paul. They seem to have some knowledge, perhaps, of God, and they believe that murder is a wicked crime. Perhaps this guy is a murderer, they think. And they know that the murder is wrong and that people are not going to get away with murder. But they've also made some mistakes in their thinking. If you notice how they're thinking here, they are assuming that the wicked will be punished in this life. You know, there's some murderers that go around and they never get caught. Nothing bad ever seems to happen to them. But we know, of course, that sometimes God allows that to happen, and he'll take care of that in the future judgment. You know, they assume that bad things happen to bad people. kind of their assumption here. Oh, look, this guy, he got bit by a venomous snake. He must be a bad person. We know from our Bibles that's a wrong thought, isn't it? Bad things happen to bad people. That's like what Job's friends thought about him. Well, Job, you must have sinned in some great way. You had this bad thing happen to you. Well, no, that's not what was going on at all. And same here. It's not that Paul was a bad person and something bad happened to him. But we see that God preserves Paul here in the midst of this. And he shakes this beast into the fire, felt no harm. Verse 6, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So, popular opinion changes very quickly. But Paul had some of the same thing happen before in other places. Remember, he had to convince people that he wasn't a god. He's not one to be worshipped. And we're not told whether they tried to worship him here, but they're trying to figure out what's going on. But obviously, God protected him. And it seems that he could have died here, but God spared his life. God showed his evident blessing upon the Apostle Paul by protecting him from this danger, by the kindness of the people here. And then another avenue of God's blessing we see in verses 7 through 10 here on this island, and that is the power of God in his ministry. Verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Here we see Paul ministering for the Lord, seeking to be a blessing to others. And here he is, a shipwrecked prisoner on an island that's unfamiliar to him. I think it could have been very easy for the Apostle Paul to sit there on the seashore and think, woe is me. I am a shipwrecked prisoner. I used to go on all these mission trips and preach the gospel. Now look at me. I'm just on this island. But the Apostle Paul seems to realize that God has a reason for him to be on this island. God brought him there through this storm. And he begins to find other opportunities to minister to people. And we find that one of those is a guy named Publius, the chief man, or the first man. This is an official title of a government official there on this island. His name, Publius, is a name that has a meaning of popular. And so I guess he adopted that name. Maybe he gave himself that name. I don't know. But somehow he came to know this guy. We're told here that there were possessions of the chief man of the island. They were nearby that. This is, real estate that was owned by this man. Perhaps a farm or some kind of house that was nearby. And he gets an introduction to this man, that he shows hospitality to Paul, lodged him 3 days courteously. And then we're told about the father of Publius and the sickness that he has. And Paul is able to go and visit him. But we're told a little bit about his sickness here. He lay sick of a fever. The original has the word fever in the plural, suggesting that he kind of had repeated attacks of fever. And the word translated bloody flux here is the Greek word dysenterion. It's the idea of dysentery. And this is a disease, an infectious disease, the intestinal tract, involving severe pain and other things. But, he's got this pretty severe illness that's going on. Some commentators have suggested that this was traced to the milk of Maltese goats, a bacteria that was unique to them that was discovered back in the 1800s in this same area. It may have been the same, but we don't know. But he was sick, and Paul goes to minister to him, to have the opportunity to visit. He enters in, verse 8, and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So it's obvious that God was working through him. He granted his power for healing, and the man was healed. Word travels very quickly, verse 9, and opens the door for other ministry. So when this was done, others also, which had disease in the island, came and were healed. So here's Paul. He's a prisoner. He probably couldn't travel freely as he would like to. But what does God do? Paul would like to probably minister to as many people as he could. And now we see God bringing the people to Paul here on the island. God works it out so Paul has greater ministry there and grants him power on that island. And then we see the people showing their appreciation for what the Apostle Paul had done. Verse 10, who also honored us with many honors. When we were departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. They really appreciated the group, Apostle Paul especially. Here they only made it with their lives, the shipwreck, survived with their lives, they have nothing else. And they supply them for their next journey. They give them things that they need, things that are necessary. So we see God bless Paul with evident power as he served here on this island. It wasn't probably what Paul wanted or what Paul was even expecting to happen. But it was an opportunity from the Lord, and God made it clear that this was what he wanted him to do with the evident blessing of God upon his ministry here. I don't believe that God is necessarily in our day going to grant us the power to heal. Although Ernest Angley, up there in Akron, he thinks that, but he's wrong about that. That was an apostolic gift and for the apostolic age. Paul was an apostle. Paul enjoyed that apostolic ministry. And God gave him power here. But perhaps God would bless us with power in a different area, power to pray, to have an opportunity to pray with somebody, or to testify to them, or to preach, or to witness. And God gives us that opportunity. We need to be like Paul and take that. Not start thinking, oh, I wish it was something else, but what has God given us this opportunity to do? He didn't just sit and wish for something else. God had him on that island for a reason. And that reason was to minister to those islanders. We're not told if he preached the gospel. I feel that it's probably pretty clear that he did. He preached the gospel everywhere he went. But God was blessing here in the midst of this storm, after this storm. And he blessed in ways that he can still bless in this day. Just the kindness of people and the power of God upon his ministry there and the protection of God. Still need to be careful. I'm not suggesting you go around finding snakes. If you do, make sure they're the non-venomous kind. But we thank the Lord for the blessing of his protection in other areas when we could do nothing to protect ourselves. And so thank the Lord for his blessing, for this example of his blessing in the Apostle Paul's life. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement that you bring to us at times and the blessing that you send our way, whether it be through kindness or just protecting us when we could have been killed. We've all been in those situations where we can look and see that you had your hand upon us, hand of protection. We pray, Lord, you give us those opportunities that you would have us to have and make it clear to us, help us be willing to serve you, just as the Apostle Paul was here on this island. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.